Good morning to y'all. This is Daniel King again with Daily Inspiration. God bless you this morning. I would just like to continue a little bit in the same theme here. Talk about what's on my heart this morning is a verse here in Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5 verse 24, it says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." I have found in this Christian life to continually be in the Word of God. And these things we all know as Christians, to be continually washed by the Word of God. And I found a new dimension in that as I have made discoveries already in my own life and realized that this thing of crucifying the flesh is a real battle. And I usually think that the Philistines in the camp or in the area of the children of Israel is an example of this. The Philistines were uncircumcised, and they were crude, and they were all about self. And it seems like the Philistines were continually there year after year. You read a lot about the Philistines rising up and being a threat and then being subdued and for a couple of years, and then soon they would kind of rise up again, and then they'd be subdued, and sometimes they'd take over areas of the grounds of the children of Israel, and other times they would be pushed back. And to me, that has always been the example of the flesh, or our affections and our lust, are an example of the Philistines. And so it's one of those things that it seems that we have to continually battle with. And as much as at times I myself don't like to admit that, I have to be honest with myself and realize that, you know, there's a constant battle. Now, there are times, or there are ways, to subdue this enemy and to gain ground and to be very much on top of him, especially in light of the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us as Christians, if we give it room to move. You know, and that reminds me, I have a computer that I use for the business here, and one of the things that computer usually asks me if I want to install a program or download something or different things like that, and there's just this little window that comes up, and it asks me if I would allow that program to make changes to my computer. And I have to either click yes or no. Well, when I first saw that, I decided, no, I don't want it to make changes to my computer. I don't want it to be changing settings and changing things. So I would hit no. Well, then I would notice that the whole procedure of downloading the program would be stopped. And I realized that what it's saying is I can't really download that program without saying yes. And the illustration there that came to me is unless I was willing for that program to make a change to my computer, it would do me no good. And that's what I have found already in the Christian life. You know, unless we're willing to let the Spirit of God that is desiring to move in our hearts and in our lives and to change us unless we say yes to making changes in our life, it will do us no good. It will be handicapped and it will not be allowed to move freely. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in our heart. And if we say yes, yes, you are allowed to make changes in my life, go ahead, then that means that there will be changes because, face it or not, we all come with this Philistine uncircumcised nature. And as much as we are reluctant to admit it at times, or I know that's how it is in my life, I have to come to the place where I have to deal with the affections and the lusts of the flesh. And so that's my encouragement this morning, is that we recognize that the Philistines are our enemies, and that we do not try to make peace treaties with them, do not try to bargain with them, and do not try to mix their influence and their their desires with the Spirit of God and the Kingdom of God. Many ways that the Philistines want to come in our own affections and lusts is in small ways at first, but give them some space. And the full-blown example of that is then in Romans 1, where we actually have the reprobate mind. So give the flesh space to move, and they'll always want more. And some of the things that has helped me already in recognizing what the flesh is basically this very thing. It's the affections and the lust of our flesh that really have nothing to do with God and His kingdom. One of those things is eating. You know, I have never met a person yet who says that he hates eating when he's hungry. Unless he has some kind of eating disorder, but that's usually a result of a reprobate mind, then that's usually beyond that. But another one is, you know, simple things like being thirsty or desiring thrill, desiring adventure. Another one is your whole, especially for men, is your sexual desires and the desires for immorality and all of that, and the enticement that the flesh uses to accomplish that. And so there's just a whole list of things, of desires, natural desires and affections that we have that really have nothing to do with God, even though many a times those things are built within us to accomplish creation. Obviously, if we would not have desires for hunger, we would be much more apt to starve ourselves to death. And in the line of sexual desires, if there was none of that, there would be much less people in the world. And I do believe that God wanted to fulfill His purpose in filling the earth. And so those are just natural desires that God gave us upon creation to accomplish His will. But really, the affections themselves have nothing to do with the will of God that He wants to accomplish through our lives. You know, God has a lot to say about abstaining from things, about fasting, about yielding our members to the Spirit of God rather than to ourselves. And so I've often marveled at some of the techniques that the army uses to make soldiers. They they do that, they use that very thing, even though they are not getting it out of the Bible. It's amazing how many parallels that is, you know, about making the soldiers wear, you know, in a sense, uncomfortable clothing, making them sleep on hard benches, and all those things. And I think it's just an example that a soldier will soon become lazy and unresponsive if he's fed all the goodies of life and is allowed to splurge on his flesh. So that was something that was on my heart. I had to think of a message I heard lately, and it talks about I'd like to do a little bit more research, but it talks about different places in the Bible where God talks about having one of his children well fed, and, you know, having everything he needs, while another one of his children is starving, you know, and how God hates that. And I know for myself, even in our family, that when one of our children would claim all of the food for the meal and others would go hungry, that we would just not tolerate that. That would just not, we would just not accept that. And so I've been just reflecting upon the situation that we're in as Americans. I'm assuming that most of the people that listen to this are Americans, and just reflecting on how that appears to God as we are ravishing on so many blessings, so many things, so many, you know, we have houses, we have money, we have food, we have clothing, we have entertainment, you know, and this is just, you know, I don't mean this as an offense or no condemnation in any way, but at the same time, you know, I do believe that we need to allow the Word of God to make changes in our lives. And it's just been a real burden of mine here lately to realize that there are people in this world who own so little, you know, and who go to bed and have their children dying of starvation, and there's this anguish of trying to quiet the wails and cries of their children, and, you know, there's nothing to do about it. And I've been just trying to figure out how this all looks and how this is all supposed to work, with the fact that, you know, there are ways for us to do something about this situation through, you know, through means of, and you know, the thing that comes to me right away then is the fact that, do we want to allow it to make changes to our lives? Do we want to allow that simple impression to make a change to our lives? And in order to give, we will need to make a sacrifice. And the flesh doesn't like that. The flesh wishes to give, but not a sacrifice. You know, it likes to download things. It likes to accomplish God's will. It likes to see the poor be fed. But it doesn't like a sacrifice on our part. You know, it wishes some program would step in and feed the hungry of the world, and to make sure they have Bibles, and to make sure they have the Word of God, to make sure they can be saved, and to bring them the medical needs they need. You know, it wishes that some program would do that, but that I wouldn't have to make a sacrifice. And so that's what's been in my heart, is to realize that, and the only way we're going to accomplish this is if we give up some of our things and actually hand them out to others. And to, you know, the Bible says that if we see a person in need and we sit down beside him and comfort him and say, God bless you and I'll be praying for you, and then rise up again and go on our way, say that God is not honored with something like that. God is honored with actually providing for the person's needs, with actually giving him and supplying him with the needs that he wants, rather than just a sympathizing heart. He likes a heart that is motivated to action. So, God bless you this morning. I pray that God will give us the courage to reach out and to realize that is really what God wants for us, is to, for those that have plenty to share with those that have little, and to make a difference in reality. I was just so amazed at the realization that the soda that America alone, I think I have this correct, that the soda that America alone drinks would be enough to feed every hungry person in the world. And that's been just so gripping to me, to realize that how is religion like this going to stand on that great judgment day? And we have to answer for little petty things like soda and candy and all those little things that we enjoy as little treats in life at the expense of our brothers and sisters who are dying of starvation. And even though it's hard to say this, I don't know where to go with all of that and what to do with it, but I don't think that we're going to help the situation by not facing up to the reality of that. And so I pray that God will show us how to accomplish His will in these last days, as we seek to wash our hands and to be pure and to be free from the blood of the innocent as we stand before Him one day. God bless you.